to another episode of
Zing This.
You've got me, Zinger.
And I'm Ellie.
And we actually went and saw a movie this week. Pretty sure we vaguely discussed it.
Vaguely.
Last week. But we got a lot of feedback on that. So thank you guys for, commenting on that and everything. Good to see that some people like Power Rangers and some people are excited about some stuff that's still coming out. So thanks everyone for that comment, especially on SoundCloud. We got a lot of comments
on there. Yes, it was so fun reading them. I loved it.
So thanks for that. And if you also want to, tweet at us too, that's the other way to get a hold of us. But we're jumping ahead of ourselves. We can tell people how to do that at the end.
Hold your horses.
I just wanted to start with something other than news for once. On that note, the news.
News, news, news.
So, movie I need to see. I feel I need to see it. I don't know how I haven't seen it yet, but Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Now, I remember when this movie was coming out, it kind of also picked up the tagline of Live, Die, Repeat.
Which is very fitting.
Which I think that would have been a better one than Edge of Tomorrow, because when I think Edge of Tomorrow, I do think sci-fi, which this is, it's, by the way, if you don't know which movie it is, it's the one with Tom Cruise, where he is, fighting in, exoskeleton?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not full on mechs, it's exoskeletons against these aliens that are invading, but he's able to relive the same day over and over again, sort of thing, and other people can do it. It's, like I said, I haven't seen it, so I can't explain it the best, but that's kind of the summation of it. The reason I'm talking about it is they're making a sequel to it.
Nice.
Which, I mean, some possible other names they could have gone with. The Center of Yesterday. That's all I get. Was a guffaw.
Maybe the listeners will have more.
Anyways, the actual title to the sequel is Live, Die, Repeat, and Repeat.
Hmm.
So, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting that's coming out and everything, and that they're going with that title, which, like I said, I feel like that should have been the title of the original. Should have just been called Live, Die, Repeat, but whatever. Just kind of wanted to throw that out there because I thought that was interesting. But something that might be more interesting to our comic book fans, we got a few comic book movie properties and stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
So, let's start off with Hellboy.
Okay.
So, you saw the original Hellboy movies. There was two of them.
Yeah, a while ago, but yes.
Yes. Ron Perlman, Guillermo del Toro, all that fun stuff.
Right.
And I honestly like those, and I would love to, at some point, discuss them on the podcast, which I'm sure would not be a far-fetched idea for us to do at some point. But I did pick up and start reading the comics, too, which I can see where they draw some inspiration from. The reason I'm talking about this is apparently there is talks that they will be going forward with a new Hellboy movie that is not, I don't want to say reboot.
Okay.
Because I actually already discussed this. I'm giving this shout out right now. I was a guest on another podcast, Heck Yeah Comics, which you can check out. I'll put their name and stuff in the description where we actually discussed this on there. So I don't want to repeat myself too much.
Mm-hmm.
But what's your thoughts on it, on a new Hellboy movie that could be rated R and does not have anything to do with the other one?
Good? I'm glad. I mean, I have no problem with reboots, of course, just because I'm excited about, the Disney reboots and some of the remakes, whatever you want to call them.
Well, hold on a second. I got something for you real quick. We mentioned this. We just should be calling it the new Hellboy movie. Because it's just, I just feel bad saying reboot because then it automatically brings it in comparison to the old one.
So what I was trying to say, I don't have a problem with it not being a reboot because with the comic book world, there's so much material to choose from. You don't have to reboot it. You can just choose to do a different story or a different part of the timeline. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's one thing when it's, like for Ghostbusters.
Yes.
They wanted to reimagine it, I think, is the better way of saying it. But, with linear stories like that, it's a little bit easier to just kind of redo or reimagine the story. But with the comic book world, you definitely have a lot more freedom to do a movie, but just pick a different story. So.
Exactly. I mean, that's, yeah. that's the thing. I don't like tagging it with the reboot,
yeah,
though. Like,
exactly.
I know we're probably going to be talking about Spawn soon, and that's, I don't like tagging it that with a reboot either, because it's just, I understand that that's what they are. It's just, it's giving that connotation of you have to compare the two, and I don't think it's going to be, I mean, yes, of course, you can probably compare the three Spider-Man movies, the Tobey Maguire one, the Amazing, and then the new Homecoming one all together, mm-hmm. but I feel like they each stand on their own in their own little worlds,
mm-hmm.
sort of thing. So that's yeah. why, I don't know, I mean, I'm probably going to keep saying reboot and stuff like that. I just wanted to throw that out there, though, but we're getting sidetracked. Some more movie news to get us on track. And speaking of reboots, rehashings, and everything else in between, let's talk about X-Men and some mutants real quick. So, with TV, there will be a trailer being released, actually the same day this podcast comes out, so we're only able to talk about the tease.
Right.
For Gifted.
Yep. There wasn't much in the trailer.
there was enough to be like, huh.
Does that remind you of something?
I mean, they're acting like a ton of heroes out there.
What? I'm sorry, but that's exactly what I thought when I saw it. But like I said, this was just a teaser.
Yeah.
So maybe in the actual full-length trailer, the, you know, 2 or 3 minute, whatever it is.
We'll get some more out
of it. A better
picture.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
So, I mean, that I'd like to see where this goes. I don't mm-hmm. know how it's connected. I meant to look that up and forgot to. How it's connected to the, if it's connected, if it's not, I mean,
well,
does it,
maybe we can talk about that in the news next week after we see the
bingo
bigger trailer.
Bingo. Well, staying with X-Men, there's been some casting announcements about new mutants.
Yes, I like them.
So, how familiar are you with the new mutants cast? I mean, of the characters that they could possibly pick from.
Oh, okay, I was like, Not too familiar right now. Like I said, I have read, and I do have single issues and that sort of thing, but probably not the best burst.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, the parts of it was Magic and Wolfsbane
mm-hmm.
have apparently been cast.
Right. You know, Anya Taylor-Joy?
She was in the Split movie with M. Night Shyamalan, the new M. Night Shyamalan movie. And she was also in Witch, or Vavitch, as Rob says. she was in that, too, so.
And she's going to be doing Magic.
Who is Klaus's sister, but actually an interesting one with the other casting of...
Mm-hmm. Macy Williams.
And you're probably all aware of her from Game of Thrones.
Yes, yes, yes.
Being Arya Stark.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be Wolfsbane. Which, not a far jump from being a Stark, in my opinion, since, you know, the dire wolf.
Right. That's funny.
Wolfsbane turns into a wolf. If you don't know who Wolfsbane is, just
look it up.
No, I actually got a simpler thing.
Okay.
Well, this might be oversimplifying, and please, I'm not trying to do this to get anyone angry, but basically... Werewolf. So, finally, for the final part of this, there is still another X-Men movie coming out. Because this one is a spin-off, I'm using quotation fingers, of the X-Men universe. To have it be like its own thing. But they're having another X-Men movie come out, which is supposed to be based on a Dark Phoenix, which we've already talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
That one should be featuring a lot of the returning cast. So, we'll see where all of this goes. I mean, I think what Fox is trying to do is really branch out and make their own cinematic universe that still is the X-Men, but kind of Deadpool and New Mutants out from it. And who knows where these TV shows fit into. So, lots of stuff if you're a fan of the X-Men mm-hmm. and mutants. But, moving on from that, I think we got some comic book news real quick to talk about. So Secret Empire is going on right now. That's the whole Captain America is actually been working for Hydra the whole time, but he hasn't because reality got changed, but he still is, and apparently he's leading a full-on attack. So a lot of twists are about to happen in the whole Marvel universe, but after this, they're not supposed to do any big events for almost a year and a half.
Oh, wow.
So that's interesting. And
then
this
that'll make the events more...
Well, they've been doing so many events recently, and I'm sure that we can make this an entire episode to discuss, you know, DC events, Marvel events, because I feel like they just do them so often. Yeah,
it doesn't make them special anymore.
It doesn't make them special, and it also, you just don't seem to, the characters don't seem to get any rest, or they don't get to develop outside of just lurching from one event to another. So this might be a good thing, but I'm sure it's supposed to redefine the Marvel Universe. So we'll see what happens with it. I've heard it's doing pretty good, actually, and it's supposed to be really good. So kind of gonna sit back and see where that ends up. But let's talk some video game stuff real quick.
Yes, please. So can I just take just 1 minute, 1.5 minutes, just to talk real quick about
Mass Effect? You want me to time
you? If you want.
All right.
Go. I just wanted to say really quick, I just wish people would just calm down a little bit about Mass Effect. You know, because of all of this, you know, they're thinking about doing the hiatus and blah, 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 which we'll talk about in a second.
Well, they are doing a
hiatus. Well, yeah, sorry, they're doing the hiatus.
Sorry, your time.
But basically, the game's not that bad. They have released a nice big patch that fixed a lot of the technical issues, like the facial stuff and glitchiness. You know, it still has some glitches here and there, of course. Mm-hmm. But I just wish people would realize, you know, if they look at the original trilogy, the first Mass Effect wasn't that great. It was a good game. I really enjoyed it, but it was really Mass Effect 2 that really, you know, jumped it off for most people, and it was the experience of the whole, all three games. So if we're going to get super picky about a game, maybe the first one, you know, same thing with this new trilogy. It's the first one of the new trilogy. Everybody misses Shepard, blah, 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 blah. But I just wish that people would just understand that there are a lot of games have glitches, and that's why today's technology is great, where we can just download patches. Should they have released it when they did? Maybe they should have waited a few more months to make sure everything was out of it first before they did, but they did, and let's just move on, okay? I think people are just taking it a little too seriously.
I mean, I'm not siding against you, I'm just kind of saying this as just a statement. People do pay good money for these games and everything, and they expect a certain level of, you know, completion with them. But there are a ton of other games that I could just name off, rapid fire. If I really wanted to, that came out that had glitches, that had issues.
Yeah.
Bethesda games on the PS3, I know that's a whole different thing, but I'm just saying that Grand Theft Auto, I know, had some glitches and stuff. Mm-hmm. So there's plenty of games that have
franchises that still have issues.
And I mean, every game's going to have some glitches here and there. I don't think it's as much the glitches as just maybe not people receiving this game as well. But the reason this was brought up is because the Mass Effect series, according to EA, has kind of said that, hey, it's been put on a, it's not been put on a back burner. It's been put on a warming plate that's not plugged in at the moment. So that's where the
other stuff.
So that's where that's at. They're focusing their assets on other stuff at the moment. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where this comes from. You know what? I'm just going to say this real quick, because we apparently put like 5 show ideas out there per episode. Maybe we should have a talk one day about whether it's okay or not to put out a game that will be that you know has to be patched.
Right. Should they release it?
Yeah.
To try to hit the release date? Or should they just apologize and say, hey guys, it's going to be out a few more months later?
But I mean, there's plenty of games that have grown so much from patching and from updates and stuff like that. So maybe that's a topic for another day.
Are you the type of gamer that is okay with just waiting for patches and move on? Or are you saying absolutely it should not be released until it's, you know, 100%?
But I mean, there's plenty of other stuff with Mass Effect that I'm sure people can nitpick at and everything. It's just, this is a game series that we are both very excited about and do enjoy, and we do understand there is opposing opinions on both sides of this.
I've enjoyed this one. I don't think it's that bad. So
we'll move on. Moving on to another game series that doesn't have any controversy with it, Assassin's Creed.
Huh?
Because that game never had a game released with glitches in it. Oh.
Oh yeah, exactly.
So apparently they've released. There's some images that have been leaked on Assassin's Creed Origins.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they're getting back to their roots with this one. Who knows? I mean, they took a year off. They had that, you know, triple
pack. They needed to do that.
They had that triple pack of games. I do agree that.
Well, they did the Ezio collection too.
Yes, they did that. That was out a while back. Oh yeah, they re-released it.
Yeah.
They re-released it on the PlayStation and Xbox. I was talking about the side-scrolling ones.
The Ezio came after the side-scrollers.
Yes. But who knows where this could go. I'm excited of them putting out something new. I'd like to see it improve. I know that there is a lot. I mean, Black Flag was one of my favorite ones. I love two Black was Flag. Great.
Yep,
so
2 was good too.
This series hasn't been, it's been one that I think
it's
that
been
you can
off and on.
Yeah, off and on, kind of like the Mass Effect series. So let's talk about a game that might not have an off and on issue with it. Far Cry. So, Far Cry, there's rumors that the next one will be taking place in the Wild West.
Why do I feel like they're doing that to compete against Red Dead 2?
Who knows?
I'm just saying, it's just, it's good timing.
It's very coincidental timing, so.
Now, I didn't care for the last one too much.
Primal?
Yeah, I liked the 3 and 4, but.
I played it, it's just, I don't know, 3, something about 3.
Yeah.
Something about 3 was just like.
It was.
Not 4 was okay, Primal was, it didn't keep me as in, 3, I seriously sat down and just, I got to a certain point in that game and I just railed through it.
Oh yeah.
So.
Do you think Primal, the issue was all the subtitles and everything, it wasn't as relatable?
Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't mind the game, it's just I haven't had that like super draw to go play it more like I did with 3.
Yeah.
Oh, and Blood Dragon, too. Sorry,
oh, I know you love that one.
That one was awesome. So we got one more gaming announcement, and then I got a TV announcement I'm excited about. We got a TV announcement that I'm excited about. You can interrupt me anytime.
I was just rolling with it.
Okay.
Let's talk about Final Fantasy for a minute.
7?
Yeah.
Oh.
So we haven't.
Wait, there's a remake, isn't there?
Well, you didn't know about it for a while because we haven't heard much about it.
Yeah, I kind of was wondering about that.
Well, the director
mm-hmm.
actually has talked a little bit about it.
Okay.
And basically said that it won't feature turn-based battles that work so well. They are going to do a little bit more, some cover play.
Oh.
You can switch between.
So this is like a complete teardown.
See, that's what I'm, you know.
Nothing like the original remake.
Some
which
of
I,
the stuff that they're showing, that's what gives me the impression.
Which I'm not, I don't know. I'm complicated.
Oh, it's like what happened?
It's a complicated thing because I'm like.
You are really upset about this.
No, I'm not. I'm just like, it's just, I mean, that big of a teardown. I mean, I don't know. Is it going to alienate fans or are they trying to pull in new stuff? Because here's the thing. We have this huge issue of how much do you want to change in a complete remake like this?
Right.
Do people just want to see an updated version of the old game? Or do they want to see the new, like, the new gameplay style, the new way that games are made, play that way? Because turn-based seems cool, and it would be nice to get back into that again. Like, turn-based is nice, but due to the fact of all the action and stuff now, and you've played the new Final Fantasy.
Yes.
And do you think that possibly 7 could work like that?
I can.
See? So that's the thing.
The more open world feel. I mean, of course, you had random battle, random encounters and
yeah.
that kind of thing in the Final Fantasy game. And I like the way you switch
mm-hmm.
between Cloud and Barrett. Like, that was, they released
Cloud
in 7.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about the new Final Fantasy still. No. I'm like, wait, what?
No, they released a couple screenshots, and so we're really hoping that
E3 might have some stuff.
We're going to have a lot more updates on some of the stuff that we've been talking about.
Maybe a release date?
Oh, gosh, I hope so. But basically, the director just said that, you know, they don't want to talk about it too much until they've strengthened the systems a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So they have released a few screenshots that you can find online, and so that's. But I mean, Square Enix is famous for saying we're going to give you more stuff soon, and then 6 months later, you're like, "Where's the stuff that you said we're going to get?" But like I said, he has recently done an interview, and there's a lot of good stuff about it. So I definitely would check it out if you have some time.
Awesome. All right. Well, last thing I'm going to mention before we get into our Guardians discussion is Arrested Development. Apparently, they're working on the new season, so I'm excited.
Cool.
Even though that one, according to some people, had a lukewarm reception on
the Netflix season.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm excited. I'm excited.
Yeah, that's
cool.
So
let's get into something everyone can be excited about. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes, please.
So, all right, we're going to get into discussing... Ellie's got a lot to discuss with this, I think. But we're definitely going to be talking about... We did see the new movie.
Yes.
We do have an opinion on it. We will get into that in a minute.
We'll have a spoiler section.
Yes, we will, of course. I'll put up a warning. I will say, you know, hey, we're going to be discussing spoilers, you know, this, that, and the other. So if you haven't seen it yet, we will not spoil anything for you. So let's get into Guardians. I think we're going to discuss the first movie first, right?
Sure.
We wanted to discuss Guardians. We want to take this opportunity to discuss Guardians as a whole. So let's get into this with... I'm actually going to start off with this question. Before the movie, Ellie, honestly, how much did you know about the Guardians of the Galaxy?
None.
So nothing at all?
Not really.
All right, your turn to flip the table on this.
Oh, well, how about you?
I was aware of them from Marvel vs. Capcom, had Rocket in it. I was aware that they had a talking raccoon. And that they had a talking tree that said, "I am Groot." That is the full amount of my knowledge on them up until the Marvel TV series, The Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes, did have an episode featuring them. So I got a little bit more introduced to them through that, but still wasn't super interested in them until I went to go see the movie.
And I'm going to be honest, I may have seen them in something and just didn't know that's who they were, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Can definitely see that.
But the first movie overall, I saw it and I instantly fell in love with it. It's a really good storytelling movie. The characters, you fall in love with them. I think it's really good with the way they kind of do their backstories just enough to make you want to know more, but not to where you feel like half the movie is... It's setting them up and explaining it to you where you're like, you know what I'm saying?
I thought they did a very good job in the movie. Once again, we're talking about the first one. We'll announce and fanfare and everything.
Yeah, we're just doing a quick overview of the first one.
I really like that they, when they were in the police lineup, that's how they sort of explained who everyone was. Yes,
that was actually really well done.
It was something that I thought you kind of were introduced to them as it was going leading up to that, but I felt that was a good moment to just kind of spill exposition out.
Well, and did you know that Peter, when he does the the little mechanical finger up in the air, that was all improv by him?
Not surprised.
Yeah, so I think that is just so awesome.
But I think that, to be honest, the first Guardians movie for me was one that I kind of, going into it, I mean, I'll admit it, I was worried about Thor. When I saw it, I was like, I don't know if they're going to be able to do Thor because I you know, the stuff I had heard about, and I saw it and I thought they did a very good job with it.
Yeah.
This movie, to me, in my opinion, was kind of them giving the middle finger to DC. If you want my opinion. I'm not 100% Marvel. I'm not 100% DC people. Yeah. I love both of them equally, but I feel like...
Right.
DC having trouble putting together movies during that time, and Marvel was able to put out a movie starring a talking raccoon and a talking tree that said three words, "I am Groot." That they were able to do that very obscure comic series, and it was one of the, in my opinion, one of the best Marvel movies that they've done.
Well, and I don't know if you remember, or if listeners remember, when that movie came out, remember the SNL skit where they had random stuff and it was the walking out, but it was chairs.
Yeah.
And that's kind of proven your point to where there
was an SNL skit where Chris Pratt was on to promote the movie and it just had, you know, other stuff coming out to the same music, like slow-mo.
Yes, but
just saying that Marvel can put its name on anything and it will be successful.
It would get more and more ridiculous. I thought that was so well done and funny.
But no, I mean, I thought that the storyline was very well done in it. It was a great way to introduce us to characters that not a lot of people were familiar with.
Right.
It definitely, I mean, started something to where Guardians of the Galaxy, I think, is a much more popular, you know, IP at the moment. I know I'm not using that correct. And I know that a lot of people were excited for this, for the second one, which we'll discuss momentarily. We promise we'll get to it. But right. I mean, for me, it just, it moved. And the other thing is, it stood on its own too, but it did progress the Marvel. Of course, as we've discussed before, a lot of Marvel movies have to progress a bigger story. It did that, but it did not feel like they were forcing in anything. Thanos being in it felt natural. He felt like he should be in there for the stuff that he was there for. Them introducing and talking about the Infinity Stones, I think, was important because that was introducing it and kind of branching it out for mm-hmm. us as the audience and introducing us to a very fantastic version of a, you know, wider world that was available to the Marvel Universe that we had not even seen. I mean, kind of saw it in Thor, but I don't know. Right. I feel like Asgard works on a different level in you know, the outer space realm than them flying around.
Yeah.
But we'll probably introduce more of that when it comes to
Ragnarok. I thought it was a nice seasoning
yes.
of some of that stuff. It wasn't the main focus as far as the Infinity and all that. Like, you
yeah.
obviously the stone is throughout the movie,
yeah.
but it was more about their adventure.
It didn't feel like they were forcing yes. that stuff to be, you know, you gotta have this in the movie, or right. you gotta do this. So that's kind of our quick little rundown of the first one.
Yes.
Now it's time to talk about the second one. Yay.
Yes.
All right, so we're getting into the second one, spoiler free discussion on it. What did you think of the movie?
I liked it.
Okay.
It was definitely, what do you want to call it? It's definitely emotional.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say why.
We'll get into that in a minute.
Right, in this section. So maybe a little too much at some points. I think they kind of, but for overall, I did like it. It was a little bit of a different feel. This one,
mm-hmm.
Feel like setting up some stuff for other characters in the third one, definitely. But overall, it was a good story. I liked the introduction of, you know, his dad and kind of how they were playing that, and it gave some answers for stuff from the first one that, you know, kind of linked stuff together for okay. you.
Yeah.
But I liked it overall. It was good.
Awesome. So my thoughts on it, I think I got a good summation of it, because I'm probably going to talk more in the spoiler section. All right, so my opinion on the, I guess since we're getting to both of them, I'm actually going to say, kind of compare both of them now, because I feel like this movie series is kind of growing on, it's building off of one to the other.
Mm-hmm.
So if the first movie is about a quote-unquote family coming together, this one's about a family getting over being individuals and actually sticking together as a family.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my quick, you know, little summation of the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, is I feel like it's a family that's working on sticking together and getting over themselves. So with that, we're going to go to a quick break where we're going to hear from friend of the podcast real quick, and then when we come back we'll have a discussion on spoiler stuff. Sorry, we're a little light, people, on the discussion, but this movie kind of, it's hard to talk about without talking about spoilers in it. Anyways, see you on the other side of this break.
Strange Animals Podcast brings you weekly episodes about surprising, mysterious, or just plain strange animals. From the vampire squid to the unicorn, tune in to discover your new favorite animal. Check us out on strangeanimalspodcast.com or listen on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play.
All right, so that, of course, was a promo for the Strange Animals Podcast, which is one I've found recently, and I really enjoy it. They talk about a lot of interesting stuff on there. So if you're a fan of, you know, strange or out there animals, both real and
mythical,
and I guess you could also include cryptozoology
oh,
in
yes.
there too. Definitely check out the Strange Animals Podcast. So, anyways, getting back to our stuff, since we're now officially in spoiler territory, you heard the promo. So that means we're in spoiler territory now.
Right.
I guess I went last, so you can go first to kind of, now we can openly discuss Guardians of the Galaxy 2, spoiler, everything, everywhere. I'm just going to say this since I kind of, I said you're going to go first, I'm going to steal this back real quick. Okay, there's no objections from Ellie, so, I feel like ego was both a metaphor for them having to defeat their own egos themselves.
Yeah.
I know that that's punny. I know that that's cheesy, but Rocket had to set aside his ego. Peter had to set aside his ego to grow as people and to grow and come back together, because that was obviously where the rift was, where the Guardians was between those two.
Well, they all had their individual issues going on.
They did.
And I feel like they slam down your throat the whole theme of you don't realize what you have in front of you until it's gone.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. So.
So I just felt like that was something that I think was a... I mean, I don't know if it was written that way on purpose. I kind of feel like it was, that they fought ego. Anyways. I felt like the whole thing kind of got a little out there at times and maybe got a little self-referential, but but at the same time, it's Guardians. I can't stress enough how I can't take some stuff in that series seriously.
Well, it jokes on itself.
You've got definitely a talking raccoon.
Yeah, I mean, and a talking tree.
I can't take it too seriously. Plus, I think the other thing was, you didn't know what was at stake for the longest time in the movie. So that's the other thing is, there was a lot of jokes, there was a lot of stuff like that, but there wasn't like an impending, you know, it's, oh, these people are after us. And that's it. It wasn't, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but until like the last, like, the final act of the movie, there was no, you know, real essence of danger, essence of we have to get, you know.
Well, you were putting your fear of who's coming out to get him in the wrong hands. Like, you think it's one person, yeah, and it's not.
Well, I mean, they still are coming out to get him, but...
Right, but it's, that's not the biggest threat.
Exactly. You know, so. Whereas in the first movie, they had the Ravagers after him, they had Ronin after them, they kind of had Thanos after them, quote-unquote, through kind Ronin. Through Ronin, so there was a little bit more urgency. So this was kind of like just looking at probably what would be going on with them on just a day-to-day basis, because they just, you know, I think the opening act was great, them fighting off that interdimensional being, which...
That was very well done.
Which, maybe having the Doctor Strange stuff before this kind of worked, because I think that this also kind of hinted at multiple dimensions as well, because that being, if you look, tore out from another dimension.
Right.
And came after them. So that was, I think, really cool and really well done. Once again, kind of showing how they are dysfunctional, but they're dysfunctional together.
They're definitely a family.
Yeah.
I mean, the way they were concerned for Groot... You know, Groot, get out of the way, you're going to get hurt. And he's just dancing along, and it was just...
I thought that was a great credits thing, too, to give, you know, Dancing Groot and everything.
And you know how much you love Dancing Groot. I think I have two or three of the bobbleheads.
Yes. Well, the little pop fingers.
Did you know that James Gunn, the actual, like, the director and everything, he filmed himself doing the dances, and then he gave that tape to the animators
for the first movie, because I know he did that for the Dancing Groot scene. I think if I remember correctly, he asked everyone to leave the room.
Yes, he did it.
He was like, everyone needs to leave, I'll film it on my own. And then filmed it.
That is great. That's so cute.
So I mean, James Gunn definitely is doing a great job with these. I think that, you know, leaving him at the helm of,
I'm happy that he's doing the third one too.
Yes, with him doing the third one, I mean this is going to involve the Infinity stuff first. They're going to be involved with that, which I'm sure.
He's helping out with that.
Yes. We need to get talking back about the movie.
Sorry, we get distracted.
It's cool, but I just want to mention this one thing real quick. This movie takes place about 6 months after the events in the first one. Why is that important, you ask? Well, because most of the Marvel movies take place in, like, quote-unquote, when they come out. Like, the dates and stuff are supposed to be around that same time. So this technically takes place in the past from what's currently going on. Why is that important? Well, Groot's able to grow up, and I think they're going to have a heavy part of the beginning of the Infinity movie, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens. That's just my quick prediction. We'll discuss where we think the series is going to go a little bit later. But overall, the movie, the third act, had a lot of over-the-top stuff in it.
Oh, yes. I mean, can we obviously talk about the death?
Well, hold on. I wanted to... Well, can we get to the fun stuff before we get sad? Or do you want to get sad and then talk about fun stuff?
Let's get sad and then we'll talk about fun.
All right. So...
I mean, you saw it coming yes. from a mile away.
Yes.
It's not like it was super...
Yondu died.
Yeah, I mean...
There, the Band-Aid's been ripped off. We can talk about it.
What was going to happen. But I thought that they had to kill him because it was a nice way to... do the Ravager's funeral with all the lights, even though they said he wasn't going to ever get one
yes.
from a scene earlier. But it was a great way to introduce and kind of show some cameos and some characters that
he also earned his place.
Yes.
He earned his place among the honored among the dishonorable, I guess, yeah. if that makes any sense.
It does make sense, yes.
I know that James Gunn had wrestled with the idea because there was apparently a version of the movie where he did not die, but mm-hmm. he felt like that needed to happen.
I agree. And I'm glad he did. Not that I did not like the character. I love the character.
Oh, no. Great. They did yeah. such a great job. No. He had one of the best lines in the movie, in my opinion. The, I'm Mary Poppins, y'all.
Oh, gosh. Yes. So... love the character, absolutely love it, but I think it was necessary.
Because he had a lot of emotion, you know, put into him, yes. you know, from the whole, you know, he's not supposed to be a Ravager, you know, he gets told down by, you know, the people he called friends and everything kind of mm-hmm. threw him down. His crew turned on him because he was trying to care. It was shown that, you know, he didn't want the life that he knew it was happening. What Peter's dad, what Ego was doing, so he saved Peter, and he claimed that it was because, you know, they needed somebody who could get into small spaces and this, that, and the other, and that they were going to eat him and everything, and the whole...
He got attached.
And the whole conflict between him and Rocket was amazing, I thought. The part where, you know, Rocket, you know, and him got into that huge face-off, and it just kind of ended with him, you know, just basically laying down. Yeah, you. I'm you.
Yeah. That was great.
And then he had that whole arc. He you know, him and Rocket had that moment where he's like, you know, I'm going to be the hero. And he's like, you can't. And he goes, no, I need to do this.
Yeah, let me do this.
Yeah.
So let me just say, the back half of this movie, definitely very sappy.
Yes.
But I thought it was
You have a lot going on in the back half of this.
Yeah, you do.
the whole stuff with Peter, you know, finding out, you know, mm-hmm. that he... what his purpose is, his dad, you know, finding out that, you know, he can finally, you know, fulfill his dream
yeah.
that he wants to, even though it's, you know, destroying everything.
Right.
But you also have Peter coming to the realization of not only has he found his dad and thinks he's found a place, but then coming to the realization of his whole mother and what happened with her, that,
right.
that, his father, Ego, killed her.
He's the one that gave her the tumor.
Yeah, and killed her because yeah. he's like, I did it. And then...
Well, because of the undying love, like, he was afraid that if he didn't kill her, he would come back and he'd stay there and he'd never complete his
well, here's
mission
the,
in life.
Here's the other thing I kind of wonder, you know, was he just thinking Peter was special because he was able to have that connection with them in the end? Or was Peter just another person, I mean, another... child to him that was expendable, technically.
No, I don't think at first, because he realized he was the only one that could actually have the light. He could harness the light,
yeah.
just like him. And he was happy to know that he would have somebody to spend eternity with. But then, yeah. of course, once he realized that Peter was not on his side, mm-hmm. then he's like, okay...
Just a few other plot points I think we should talk about real quick. Gamora and Nebula.
Mm-hmm.
When we watched the first Guardians after we watched the second one, I felt like that added more weight to their interactions in the first one too.
Right.
Knowing that, you know, what Thanos did to her and that, you know, Gamora never let her win and all she wanted was a sister.
Right.
I thought that was a very good emotional point for Gamora to grow her and Nebula as a character, because no one really liked Nebula, but that part I was like, wow.
She grows on you in the second movie.
Yeah, she does, and I think that they do a good job with it. You know,
can see why she's so jaded. You finally understand why she's the way she is.
I mean, does it make sense that she's sitting there trying to kill her sister the whole time because she just wants somebody to, you know, to love and, you know, to be a family with?
Is she really trying to kill her? I mean, I think it's...
Well, that's the thing, maybe. I mean, that's how they grew up, sort of.
Yeah.
Was they had to fight each other constantly and everything because Thanos basically forced them to. But, I mean, I just thought that was a really well-done thing. Drax sort of had... I think Drax became more comic relief in this at mm-hmm. times. He had his nice emotional beats when he needed them. You know, talking about his family, him and Mantis' interaction, I thought was...
Right.
Was funny. Him and Rocket had some good interaction, so I thought that was very well done. I guess he's indestructible because he was outside of the ship when they were crashing onto a planet and just was laughing the entire time.
That was definitely over the top.
He had some great the great line of, you know, oh, my nipples, for the suit thing. I thought was funny. I know we kind of discussed these characters, you know, as the characters, but I kind of want to give a hats off to Batista. I think he really, he's going out there. I don't think he's acting. I think he's truly just enjoying what he's doing.
Oh, yeah.
I seriously think that, you know, he is quote-unquote acting, but I think it's more of he's going out there and being able to have fun.
He's just having a good time.
And I feel like that's a lot of the people in this movie, too. Chris Pratt obviously is loving the role. I thought that, you know, this movie did a good job of growing his character, too. Mm-hmm. Groot, I feel like we shouldn't talk about Groot, because all we're going to say is, you know, Baby Groot was awesome, you know, Baby Groot had its great moments. You're either on board with Baby Groot or you're not, and we're obviously in the camp, we're on board.
I am on Team Groot.
So, I think the moments, I mean, he...
Except Teenager Groot, I could skip past that. That's scary.
I thought they did a very good job with Groot. I want to say I don't think he grew as a character, but I mean, he kind of was there as, you know, when they needed. He was there for what they needed him to be there for.
He was a filler in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we obviously are discussing how heavy this movie was with emotion and stuff. So I think that having
that was
Drax
a nice
and
break.
Having Drax being what Drax was in the movie and having him being what he was, and then Rocket, I think, contributed to that too at times. Also, the people that were after him having the arcade, you know, simulator things. I thought they had some nice little touches, you know, to add to what's a very emotionally heavy movie at times. If you really want to get to it, maybe one of the more emotional ones of the Marvel series, I guess.
Oh, definitely.
I felt it carried more emotion than what Civil War did at times, because Civil War, I think, was supposed to have more emotion to it, but I don't know.
This one made me feel more
than
a lot of the other ones. Not that other Marvel movies don't have their moments. Definitely, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying this one definitely had, like, moment after moment to the point of almost too sappy.
But, yeah.
I mean, I still like the movie, but it definitely... It definitely had its share. But.
Okay, so I mean, overall, this definitely ranks up very high in my movie opinion. I think the first one still ranks higher, though this one has, I think, some really good moments in it. The first one is one I feel I could just sit down and watch. This one's one I could still sit down and watch, but
it's
maybe cutting out certain acts of it.
Yeah.
At times, but.
Kind of like when I watch the first one, I skip past the beginning because it's like...
Oh, yeah, the emotional pull of...
Well, it's just... I feel like every comic book movie always has to have the, this is why I do this, and, you know, and it's just, I've seen it once, so let's just move on.
Not to say the ending to this is bad, it's just...
Yeah.
The him turning into Pac-Man, they once again, I think James Gunn did a good job of mixing humor in where it was needed during... emotionally heavy moments at times to try to, you know, not have it be just a beat you down. But
and
the
ending was gorgeous with all the colors.
Yes.
And it was very artsy, very pretty.
All right. So I guess let's get into the universe
real
quick. But there is one thing I want to talk about first. the confirmation of a fan theory that's been going on for years that I've teased about several times over again on this podcast. The fact that Stan Lee is somehow connected to the Watchers.
Yes.
And the introduction of the Watchers.
Yes.
That was, not only did they have a part where they were jumping through the several, you know, the 700 different, you know, points.
That was so galaxy, crap.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Thank you. When they do that thing and yes. they change the shapes.
Yes, you're talking about the improbability drive from Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yes,
that's
what made me think. Yes.
But yeah, it was really out there, and it's one of those things that I kind of always wondered how they got from one side of the galaxy to the other, and this kind of explained it as it's like some sort of jumps. So I thought that was a nice, you know, little way of here's how it happens, and who knows, maybe that's setting up for something in the Infinity, and that's how, you know, they might be able to hold him off or something. Who knows? I think that there's more to it than that. We'll see. But anyways, the confirmation that Stan Lee, Stan Lee's character in all the Marvel movies is the same person, apparently. And he reports to the Watchers. And if you don't know what the Watchers are, go look it up. They're basically, they watch everything.
Yes. Well,
in the Marvel Universe. Anyways. So let's talk about where we think this, you know, where three's gonna head. We kind of already discussed what's gonna happen in Infinity.
Well, let's talk about Guardians for just a few minutes.
Okay, cool.
Before we talk about the whole, this is where we think it's gonna go. I just like to just talk about how great this series is and as a whole, and how smart these movies are. I don't know if you noticed, but like. With the Nova Corps, they have those three lights on their suits, and that's supposed to represent the three sons of Xandar.
Yep.
Their home planet. I think that's great. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the... Now, everybody knows the blue alien from the first one was Nathan Fillion.
Oh, yes, the one in the prison.
In the prison. So I think it's really cool they tweaked that little space cowboy in there.
He also was in Slither, and in the collector's room there was a there was the creatures from Slither in one of the containers.
Correct. And if we're gonna talk a little bit about some influences, I think they're very obviously seen. Do you know the influences of what Chris Pratt used to kind of imagine and how to create his impression of Star-Lord?
I kind of want to say Han Solo, even though I feel like that's...
Han Solo is one of them.
Okay.
And Marty McFly.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Very, once again, Marty McFly, I guess, being a man out of time because he is...
Right.
He's technically a perpetual child. I think at times in both movies, and which is fine.
And it's so cool how he's so stuck in the 80s.
Yes.
I mean, just like, you know, he named the ship Milano after after Alyssa Milano.
Yep.
I think that's great. That's what I'm talking about. This movie is just so well done with the way they really try to keep his character kind of...
Do you think that's maybe where the popularity of this series comes from? Is maybe, you know, it's nostalgic for a lot of people who, you know...
Well, definitely the soundtracks.
Grew up in the 80s, you know, people who are music, you know, came from the 80s.
Yep. And being that we're huge Star Wars fans, it's really cool that James Gunn, when he was trying to figure out how he wanted to do the movie, especially the first one, it was first starting to think about the first movie... And how he wanted to do it, he thought on Flash Gordon, Star Wars, Farscape. I don't know if you remember that. And Mass Effect.
Oh.
Which is really cool. He is a huge fan of the Mass Effect series.
Maybe we should get his opinion on the Andromeda.
Exactly. He might have, well, I don't know. He's pretty busy. I was like, he might have time to play a little bit. So I think that's really cool. You can definitely see those influences in the series.
A big one in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 was the point made by Drax of, you know, going through the quantum asteroid field is, you know, only the best pilot could possibly.
Yes.
Obviously a Star Wars reference. Yes. Another one was and this actually goes for a lot of the movies and all the movies in Phase 2, was somebody losing an arm.
Okay.
very Empire Strikes Back.
Yes.
So, yes. Obviously, influence there. So, kind of jumping back real quick to the end of the movie. I don't know why I'm going back to this now.
No.
Do you think that the whole end fight was over the top? like in a negative way, in your opinion?
Well, it almost reminded me of, like, anime. Mm-hmm. Like, just the completely, like, ridiculousness of it. Gosh, in a bad way. It definitely was getting close to it. There was points where you're like, okay. I know that they're both god-like creatures, so obviously they're going to be able to handle a lot more.
Yeah. I agree with you. I feel like the movie kind of set itself up earlier on to kind of explain that, you know, hey, this whole scenario makes sense within the logic of the movie for this point. Was it over the top? Yeah. Is it something that's going to bug me? No. Because once again, I think this is the third time I'm saying this. We are dealing with a movie here that has a talking raccoon and a talking tree.
And a father that's a planet.
And a character that is a literal living planet.
Right. So, I mean...
Yeah.
It's one of those things where you're like...
So...
In other movies, maybe, but this one, it makes more sense.
So, definitely some stuff for the third... Volume
yes.
3.
Yes.
Real quick, Adam Warlock has all but been confirmed. The tease at the end of the...
Well, she's creating him.
Yeah. Yes. Adam Warlock is a very powerful character and very involved with the Guardians, so...
Manipulate, you know, energy, strength, flying.
Yes. Someone who can go toe-to-toe with Thanos pretty... I mean, not... I'm not going to say beat him 100%, you know, hands down, but definitely somebody who can compete with him. And as we were just looking at, you know, some of the stuff from Infinity and stuff like that, that is a very illustrious spot to be in if you can at least compete with him.
Right.
Because the Hulk can't even do that sometimes, so just pointing that out there.
Well
in the comics, in the movies, right. Who knows? They've changed stuff. But James Gunn has said that the third movie is going to be the conclusion of the current Guardians.
Correct.
So...
The current Guardians.
Yes. So does that mean we're not going to see them anymore?
I think the reason why they had all these... I mean, Sylvester Stallone's character, Stakar Agord...
Starhawk.
Yes. Well, yeah, that's what they're called in the comic, but
yeah.
In the movie he didn't go by that necessarily. He was more by the other name.
So you had them, the original, quote unquote.
They had a lot of the original ones. And so I think what they're doing is they're setting it up, of course, so that when the third movie comes out, they're going to I think it's going to start with the original gang and it's going to kind of change hands by the end of the movie.
I think we'll still see some of the Guardians that we're used to.
Yes.
But I think possibly, you know, some of them can end up on Earth. Who knows what's going to happen after Infinity, though? That could redefine a lot of stuff, so...
And I really liked Martinex, the guy from Smallville.
Oh, Lex, the guy who played Lex Luthor.
Yes, he looked really cool, the crystal-looking type guy.
And if you the robot
Mainframe
was voiced by
Miley Cyrus.
Yes.
And you also had Charlie 27, which is Vin Rains.
Mm-hmm.
So and if we could take just a second to talk about how many members of the Guardians of the Galaxy has been out over the years.
There's been a lot of them.
Tons. I mean, if did you know Iron Man?
Yes.
Was a Guardian? Captain Marvel was a Guardian.
Which one?
Carol Danvers?
Oh, okay. I was wondering if we were talking about Captain Marvel or Captain Marvel.
The Thing?
Oh, yeah. He was on that team for a little bit.
Yeah.
You're missing a big one, though.
Well, I've got more. I just was listening. I was
there's
figured
one that,
you were going to like,
there's
go
one
back
that
and forth.
I'm enjoying, that I enjoyed being on the team, personally.
Cosmos the Space Dog?
No, not I'm not talking about no psychic space dog.
Who are you talking about?
Agent Venom.
Yes. Agent Venom is one.
Which, apparently, his storyline in The Guardians is pretty interesting.
And Adam Warlock.
There you go.
So, start out as a bad guy, turn into a good guy. I mean, the list goes on. That's what we're trying to say. It's just, you know, there's been lots of... So technically, the third movie, I mean, you guys as listeners, who do you want to see? Which ones do you want to see them possibly bring in the third one? I mean, we pretty much know that Starhawk and Charlie 27 Mainframe.
And Adam Warlock.
Yeah, Adam Warlock. There's obviously ones that we know are going to... Mantis was a member of Guardians. And so there's definitely a lot of that, you know, Yellow Jacket wasn't one of the original ones. So we're just kind of curious what you think. Who do you think they're going to bring back other than the ones that are kind of obvious? But there's just plenty to choose from. So it's kind of cool. I like it.
All right. Well, yeah, definitely let us know. And I think this will bring our probably first Guardians of the Galaxy discussion to an end.
Yes.
But a hint at what's going to happen next week.
Don't forget to get your Zune player, because it has over 300 songs.
God, that was such a random...
I know, I liked it, though. It was kind of cool. They had to set it up, because his tape player was destroyed.
Yeah.
So they had to set up somehow he'd still have songs. So, it was great. I thought it was funny.
Yeah. anyways, so, I want to give a quick shout out to Paul from the Varmins podcast. He actually kind of gave us an idea, which we're going to discuss. So thank you for this, Paul. And we want you guys to weigh in. And the discussion that we'll be having next week, it's not going to be a full discussion. We're not going to take up an entire episode, but we got something else fun planned for next week too. So look forward to that. But the question is, does the world need another Transformers movie, or does it need another Fast and the Furious movie? So I'm assuming he's talking about the ones after the ones that have come out this year. Which one would we want more of? And I think you all know which side I'm going to be on for this discussion. More or less, I'm probably going to play both sides for this one, but...
Oh, nope. You got to pick Team Robot or Team Cars.
But the robots turn into cars. Okay, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
I know.
So we want you to weigh in, you know, are you Team Transformers for this discussion, or are you Team Furious? So definitely weigh in and let us know. You can, of course, let us know on our Twitter, which is...
@ZingThis.
You can also, of course, go on our Facebook page and let us know on there. I'll probably do a post on there, so that's ZingThis.
Yep.
And if you want to, of course, listen to, you know, some of our older stuff or keep up to date with us, you can, of course, go to iTunes.
ZingThis.
Or you can go to SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, and Tuned In. And if you go on iTunes, what should you do to help us out?
A 1, 2, 3, 4, 5-star review.
And we will read it on the podcast, and it greatly helps our podcast out a lot to do that. Instagram is where you can go to get some pictures and stuff like that. So see what we're up to.
ZingThis podcast.
And you can go to Twitch, which is twitch.tv/ZingThis.
Yep.
And there you'll be able to see us playing some games. You'll probably be seeing some Injustice very shortly coming up on there. You can go to Patreon if you want to help support the podcast. That is ZingThis. You can go to YouTube.
ZingThis.
Which we'll be putting out some content on there very soon. Some stuff besides just the audio podcast. We might have some of us playing some magic. So look forward to that. And if you want to email us directly, you can go to zingthis@gmail.com. And before we punch out today, just one more thing. We just want to wish, you know, a belated Mother's Day, since this will be coming out the day after. But yes. Who's one of your favorite mothers in comics?
Oh, mommies in comics. I think the whole Spider-Woman thing is kind of cool.
Oh, how she's a mom now. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. She's very, very protective. So.
Well, I would say Martha, but I don't want to get into that discussion right now. Geez.
Easy choice.
So I'm going to actually say Freya.
Okay.
Thor's mother.
Nice.
Both in mythology and in the comics.
Cool.
So, anyways, happy Mother's Day from us at ZingThis.
Happy Mother's Day.
Belated, because you'll be hearing this, of course, the day after. But anyways, thank you guys, and we'll see you next week. DJ GoldenBoy89.
Play us out.
And also let us know who your favorite mothers from comics are. without the moon, I think. I don't think it has to involve the moon. Actually, I'm positive it doesn't have to involve the moon. I'm cutting this part.